Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Yesterday on Through the Bible, we studied how the temple was completed and the Ark of the Covenant was carried in. Today, we'll see this is the permanent resting place of the Ark and why it shouldn't be moved again. This final placement was significant in Solomon's day. It's also significant for you and me. Find out why as our study begins in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 9. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus for another great study in God's Word with our teacher, the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee. So as you grab your Bible and find your seat on the Bible bus, I want to share a couple of letters from our fellow listeners. First is a text message from a young woman who listens to our French programs in Africa. I am 15 years old, and after listening to your programs, I realize that I am lost. I am lonely and have already slept with several boys as I was looking for companionship, but it didn't work. Then I listened to your program by chance, and it is the grace of God for me. I want to change my life and be filled with God's Spirit. Please pray for me as I wish to rid my life of sin. Next, we hear from a listener of our Polish broadcast. Through your teaching, my life has acquired value and color. I know it is the power of the Holy Spirit working in me. I am now so different from the person I used to be. My life is in the hands of Jesus. Please pray He gives me the power and courage to openly share with others about how wonderful our Lord is and what He has done for me. Well, if you'd like to join our world prayer team as we intercede for listeners like these who ride the Bible bus with us in more than 200 languages, then you need to go to ttb.org/pray and sign up today. It's so easy. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word that draws us near and then fills us with Your wisdom and knowledge. As it goes into the world today, we're grateful, Lord, that it's going to accomplish exactly what You want. Thank You for that promise in our lives too, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, I begin at verse 9, and this is a tremendous statement here, and very important. God's calling attention to it in a very definite way here. Verse 9, chapter 5, 2 Chronicles. And they drew out the staves of the ark. At the end of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. That is the time of the writing of this book. The staves were taken out of the tabernacle. It is to move no more. That ark here was constructed down in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. And the children of Israel spent 40 years in that wilderness. That ark went before them across the Jordan River. And that ark now had been brought up by David to Jerusalem. It was up at Mount Zion where his palace was. Now it's brought down to the temple that has been constructed. This thing of beauty, it's like a gem that was there. Now this is the place where God is meeting with His people. But the interesting thing is, this ark had been on the wilderness march all of those years, and it had been moved after they got in the land from place to place. We saw in Samuel how the Philistines even captured it at one time. Now it's put in the temple into a permanent resting place, and the staves are withdrawn. Now that ark, as we've seen before, speaks of the person of Christ, of who He is. On top of it was a mercy seat. How wonderful. Now it's brought to a permanent place in Jerusalem. From here on, the children of Israel are to come to Jerusalem, the males, three times a year at three of the feasts, at Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. They were to be there. And this ark, speaking of the person of Christ, the mercy seat, speaking of His work of redemption, shedding his blood where the throne of God is a mercy seat today. That is all permanent. Now, Christ has appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That is permanent. That is basic. That is established. That cannot be moved. Let me use the figure of speech here. The staves have already been pulled out, and there'll be no movement anymore. There'll be no other way of salvation. Peter could say to his people, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friends, the staves have been pulled out. The ark's not on the move. And then it speaks of rest. The Lord Jesus gives rest to those that come to him. But there's going to be a place of rest. And that place of rest, you recall, he said to his own in the upper room, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The place is prepared. And one of these days, we're to go to that place. And we're told that one of the characteristics of that place is the permanence of it, is the fact that it is a place of eternity. It is the place where no longer will there be any tears. No longer will there be any death. These things have passed away. We find that there is the throne of God. And he said it's done because he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And we're told here that this is heaven. This is the city of God. And the foundations of that city are permanent. They are forever. They are 12 foundations that are there. And the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple of it. Friends, the staves have been pulled out. They're already pulled out. How wonderful. We're not going to be on the march. You don't have to go looking for God today. As we saw in Romans, Paul says you don't have to go to heaven to bring him down or down to hell to bring him up. It's right there for you. It's permanent. It is eternal. It'll not be changed. It drew out the staves. Now, verse 10, and there was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And there are two things now that are missing. One is Aaron's rod, and the other is the pot of manna. Both of those were there. The pot of manna, you remember? Ordinarily, manna would disappear if they didn't gather it. And Aaron's rod, it budded, and all of that rod now has disappeared. Why? Well, because I think, friends, that both of these, the manna, which speaks of Christ as the bread of life, that speaks of his humanity and the fact that he feeds those that are his own, and Aaron's rod that budded speaks of his resurrection. Now, that's been actualized to us today by the historical fact that Jesus died. He was human, his humanity. He died, was buried, but he rose again the third day, and that's not human. Aaron's rod that budded. Now, will you notice, as we read on, verse 11, it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. You see, all of the courses came up for this act of dedication. And we have here that all of the singers and the trumpeters and all of those were there. And there was the blowing of the trumpets and the sounding of the cymbals and the instruments of music. And they praised the Lord, saying, for he's good, his mercy endureth forever. And the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, we're told. Now we come to chapter 6, and this man Solomon here is actually going to have a great prayer of dedication, but he's also going to deliver a message before his prayer. And it's a tremendous message, by the way. I want you to listen to it. Then said Solomon, the Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. But I built an house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face, and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying. You see that all of this goes back to David. David is the one responsible for the temple. He says, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now, this is the sovereign will of God. God has chosen Jerusalem to be the center and the capital of this earth. It will be someday. He chose it for the place for the temple to be built. And he chose David to be the king, and now one in David's line. This is the arbitrary, the absolute will of God in making this choice. Now, I want to be very frank with you today, very candid. I would not choose Jerusalem. Very frankly, I think the most beautiful spot in that land is where old Ahab and Jezebel lived, up at Samaria, up on top of that lovely mountain, and it's not hemmed in on any side. A lot of people build up on a hillside, and they have a view of a valley, but they don't look every direction. Now, in Samaria, you could look in every direction. You look to the west, you see the Mediterranean Sea. You look to the east, you see the Jordan Valley, the Sea of Galilee. You look to the south, you see Jerusalem. You look to the north, you see Mount Hermon. Now, my friend, that's quite a view. I would choose that place. But you want to know something. I think I ought to let you in on it. God never asked me about it at all. This is the sovereign will of God. He says here, I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now, this is something we need to recognize. Now, God has his will for you and me. I actually believe that for a child of God today, that God has a place for you to live, has a house for you to live in. He has all of those things. Now, the great problem is for you and me to get in the will of God. You and I can stand off and argue about free will and the election, sovereign grace of God, God's sovereignty, all you want to. We won't get anywhere. And it's rather, I think, fruitless to waste your time on that argument. I'll tell you something that is very profitable, is for you and me to get into the place, and I want to put it a little more specific, in the spot that is marked X of God for you and me. When you and I get on that spot, we're going to be in the right place. That is the thing that is important. God chose Jerusalem, and God chose this man, David. Now, will you notice verse 7? Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Now, all that Solomon is saying here, I've done what David wanted done. I've merely carried out the wishes and will of David in building this. And now, will you notice here the 11th verse? And in it have I put the ark, speaking of the temple, wherein is the covenant of the Lord that he made with the children of Israel. This is all important to see here. Now, you have this wonderful prayer of dedication of Solomon here. And we read, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, 3 cubits high, had set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. There's always been an argument about the proper posture of prayer. Should you kneel or stand up or get down on your face? bow down on all fours. How should you get? Well, we're told here Solomon kneeled down. They're looking for a posture. Well, certainly there's nothing wrong with this. And now notice what he does now, but this is a great prayer of thanksgiving. And he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and speakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now, he's coming to thank God because he is the Creator, and he's done something. He's moved into the heart and life of Solomon, he had of David, and he had into the life of the nation. That is something that today a great many folk need, is an experience with God. Somehow or another are satisfied to stand off and stiff-arm the Lord and keep him over there and say, yes, I'm a Christian, and this sort of thing. But why not, my friend, come to him directly, come to him definitely, come to him in a real relationship. Now, again, in this prayer of dedication, he comes back in verse 18, but will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? The whole heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Now, you'll notice that he thanks the Lord here, first of all, for material things. And he had, I think, probably more material things than any man on top side of this earth. But the things that he had, like gold and silver, we're going to see over in the 9th chapter, he had it in such abundance it was commonplace, like going out and picking up pebbles on the seashore. And he never had to look at the price tag on anything, and economy was not in the vocabulary of that man at all. But in spite of all that Solomon had, the average American today has more things and more stuff and more material than Solomon ever had. He has more comforts, more devices, more gadgets, more buttons to push, things that are functional and utilitarian. Solomon never had air conditioning, central heating, electric cooking, electric blankets, and toasters. Solomon had iced drinks in summertime because he sent a crew to the top of Mount Hermon to get the ice and snow up there. The average American, though, can wander into the kitchen, open the ice box, and have it in a few seconds, all the ice cubes he wants. Solomon had fresh meat all the time, but he couldn't keep it in deep freeze, had a retinue of servants. Was slaying animals, and of course he had quite a few people at his table. They probably would consume an entire carcass at one time. An army was busy bringing foodstuffs from all over the earth. Navy was bringing costly and delectable morsels for the taste of the most fastidious gourmet. Now them average American can go into a supermarket, push a cart down aisles where there are mountains of foodstuffs, and they've been brought from the four corners of the world. And he can get them packaged or canned, get it in cellophane, get it in box. He can get it most anyway. The shelves groaning with goods from everywhere. And when he goes by the cash register, why, even the cash register, though, groans today. There is something, may I say, that this man utters a great prayer, thanksgiving to God for providing so many things. I wonder how many of us thank God for the provision that he makes for us around us today in so many ways. I do not know about you. I thank God for the privilege of living in this day and generation, not just for the material things, but, my friend, because of the spiritual things and the glorious opportunities today. Solomon had this prayer of dedication and this message he gave, and he got out finally to the then known world. But he never could go on radio, nor could he go on television at all. Now, will you notice in this prayer, there's several things we'd like to call attention to. Verse 21, hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servants and of thy people Israel, which they've made toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven. Verse 22, if a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven. See, that temple was to become the very center of the life of the nation Israel. Verse 24, and if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they've sinned against thee. If they've come back to the temple, you see. Verse 26, when the heaven is shut up, there's no rain, what are they to do? Come to God in prayer. Verse 28, if there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting, what are they to do? To come to the temple. Come to God in prayer. Verse 30, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. God knows us, friends. And that's the reason we ought to be doing business with him. Verse 32, moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country, for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name, and fear thee as doth thy people Israel, and may know this house that I have built is called by thy name. You see, this was a great missionary project. The world was to come here. This was not just for Israel, but if the stranger come from the end of the earth, come from a far country, then he was to hear. Verse 36, if they sin against thee, for there's no man that sinneth not, thou be angry with them and deliver them over to their enemies. Why, again, what are they to do? Well, in the country that they have been taken, why, they are to lift their voices to God and turn toward this temple, turn in that direction, though it even be destroyed. And that's what Daniel did, you will recall. And you read now, and I think probably I should put in here, verse 38, if they return to thee with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their captivity, where they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open. Let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou in the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. And I say this is a glorious prayer, and he makes it on the basis of his mercies that he'd extended to David. Now, you and I are to pray not on the mercies, but because Christ has made a mercy seat for us to come to today by his shed blood. We have mercy today, and he made peace for us by the blood of his cross. God is prepared to extend mercy to us. Now, this brings us here to the conclusion of the prayer of Solomon. And now we are going to see that the glory of the Lord will fill this house as it had the tabernacle. Now, though it was inferior in many ways, and yet rich and ornate, yet it was inferior to the tabernacle. But God, in his mercy, he accepts it and blesses these people. And over a period of time, he did bless them. And we're going to see now, as we leave this part, we're going to see the final days of the reign of Solomon. And actually, the thing that God's going to emphasize is his tremendous missionary work. Solomon was a great missionary. People came from the ends of the earth when they heard of his wisdom. And that, of course, was spiritual wisdom that God had given him. I don't think he exercised too much sense in other directions. But we're going to see that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
To improve your communication with God, check out Dr. McGee's digital booklet, What Jesus Said About Prayer. It's available for free download in the resources section of ttb.org, or we'd be happy to help you find it. Just call 1-800-65-BIBLE. And then join us next time as we make our way through the Bible.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?
Heaven sends me wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a very wonderful, supernatural, special friend, help me say.
Heaven sent me a wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a
WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. Glory to God. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us, 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now stay tuned to our broadcast.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for another opportunity to come into your homes and nursing homes, prison cells, and automobiles, and street corners, wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to pray for my radio listeners out there and my faith partners as well. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I ask that you would bless this message and anoint the hearts of the hearers, that they too will be blessed. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We want to look today in the 91st Psalms. Praise God. We want to let you know out there in Radio Land, whatever you may be going through, the God that we serve is a good God. He wants you whole. He wants you well. If you're sick, you have problems in your physical body, God is a healer. He is the only healer. And when we embark upon his word and begin to believe what he said, we can have the promises of God. So this morning, we want to look at the 91st Psalm, and we want to look at what the scripture says. And the word is clear. If you can believe what the word of God says and receive it, and you can receive what it says. And this is what we want to thank God for today, because we know that there's nothing that we can do apart from him. He is the all-wise God. He's the healer of all mankind that will believe and trust in him. So we want to look at what the scripture says today for the amount of time that we have. And in Psalms 91 and verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. God is our refuge. He's our fortress. He is our God that protects us day in and day out. And I want to just throw this in for starters, that God has healed us of many things that we probably didn't even have knowledge of. That's how good he is, and he loves us. So as the psalmist is writing here, we don't really know who wrote the psalms, but I would venture out to say probably Moses. But for the most part, we want to stay according to what the word of God says. The scripture tells us he who dwells, that means who lives, abide in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. This I say. Now, God is saying one thing, and this I say, this is first person singular, it says, and this I say, that he, he's talking about God, that he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
In whom I will trust.
Yes.
God is our refuge.
Amen.
Praise God. And what he does, he protects us. Praise God. I remember looking at somewhere there in the early part of the ministry, when we looked at it and said, well, listen, we can run to God at any time because the Lord is a strong tower. And it says, where the righteous run in, they're safe. Praise God. God is our fortress. He's our, oh, he's just wonderful, magnificent. So, Minister Glory, would you read the next verse there? Praise God.
It says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler.
Well, you know who the fowler is. And And a snare is a trap. So God says that he will deliver us from the snare of the fowler. Praise God. God protects us. Thank God that he does. Because I tell you, a lot of things that goes on, we really don't even have knowledge of for the most part. But he protects us and he heals us. And we love him. We thank God for everything that he's doing. Go ahead, Minister.
And from the noisome pestilence.
From the noisome pestilence. Go ahead, Minister.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be the shield and buckler.
He will cover us with his feathers.
Amen.
And under his wings. You know what I remind? I remember years ago when and we're looking at a chicken in the natural, a chicken, and had the little, well, the biddies, they call them from where I came from, but the little baby chicks. And what happened is that they're out there picking on the ground and so forth. But anytime there was some sign of danger, what would happen is that those little baby chicks would run unto the mother, and she would spread her wings, and they would get under there and receive the protection of the mother. I tell you, it's a beautiful sight in the natural to see. And now I understand what the scriptures are saying here concerning he spread his wings.
Amen.
Cover us with his feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And under what?
And his wings, and truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day.
No fear.
No fear. Amen.
He's our fortress.
Mm-hmm.
He's our protector. We're in the dwelling, the secret place. We're being covered by God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. He's our fortress.
Mm-hmm.
We thank the Lord for that.
This I like when it says, I shall not fear, nor shall be afraid. You know, we shouldn't be afraid because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So we should not be afraid.
Well, that is true, because why should we be afraid? Even under the new covenant here, the Lord tells us that that he's with us. Praise the Lord. We have to keep in mind that he's always with us, because he said he never, if you have received him.
If you have received him.
He says that that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That he would even be with you until the end of the world. So why should we be afraid when he's with us, the creator of the universe?
Amen.
The God of creation, he's with us. And I remember reading there also, it says that that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. You have something you want to say, Mr. Lord? Because I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. We don't have to fear because God is with us.
Amen.
We must keep that in mind, and it must be a reality. It must be real to us.
Amen.
That he's with us, that his presence is with us. Well, if his presence is not with me, I'm not going, because I want to stay in his presence. Praise God. If that's what he's doing, I want to be with him. I want him to be with me, as what he said in his word, and the scriptures are clear that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee.
Doesn't matter what's going on, God, if we can look at the reality of what the Psalms are saying here, that he's our protector, he's our fortress, he's our God in whom we'll trust. Our faith has to be in God and what God is saying to us through his word. And it's amazing here that all of the descriptive measures that is being mentioned here concerning the one that dwells in the secret place.
Amen.
Well, if you have to ask where is the secret place, then you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
the secret place of the Most High, because he said we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, the shadows of the Almighty. I remember when this shadow is powerful. This shadow. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple of scriptures there that we read concerning the shadow. Praise God. Amen. This David said in the 23rd Psalm there that he walked in the shadow of death, but he shall not fear no evil. Praise God. Just a shadow. Yep. The shadow is coming from the one that will protect us.
Amen.
Praise God. There was another verse of scripture there concerning that shadow. I remember when Peter was they had brought people out and laid them in the street, and the shadow of Peter healed those folks.
Praise God.
That shadow is awesome.
Yes.
Glory to God. And we're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
This is all what the Word of God is saying. We're not trying to illuminate anything other than what is written. And it's a very powerful psalm. The 91st Psalm is a very powerful psalm. And like I said before, it's really not known who wrote it, but I would give it to Moses, because this is just my viewpoint concerning the writer of the psalm. But the writer is unknown, so to speak. Praise God. But the word is clear. And if you're dwelling in the secret place, stay there. Praise God. And abide under the shadows of us. Live under the shadow of the Almighty. He's there with you. He'll protect you. Praise God.
And because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation.
Now, listen to what he said, that he has made the Lord his refuge. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And what?
Even the Most High, thy habitation.
Well, you can't get no higher than the Most High, praise God, because he is the Most High.
Amen.
And he has made the Most High his habitation or dwelling place. It's a wonderful thing when we stand firm there and just receive what is written here concerning this 91st Psalm. Now, there are other psalms that are also important here. We're not trying to say or discredit any of the other psalms, because we know that it's all the Word of God. But the most important thing is that we want to stay in the dwelling place of the Most High. We want to stay in that secret place and just rest there. Praise God. Under the divine protection of God Almighty. Praise the Lord.
There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling.
It's amazing. Praise the Lord. It's amazing, because I remember during the time of the I call it a plandemic. Most people say pandemic, but this thing was planned. But I want to tell you that they were running to and forth, and a lot of the churches were shut down because of the pandemic. But let me tell you something there. Listen to what the scripture says. Praise God. Listen to what the scripture says. This is the Word of God. And if we're abiding in what the Word of God is saying to us, we won't have any fear. We will just trust the Lord. And it's a shame that a lot of the churches shut down because of what was going on. But I tell you, if we believe what the Word of God is saying and have received it, then we will move on to glorify God. Now, in this 10th verse, it says here that, what does it say?
There shall no evil befall thee.
No evil. No, there shall no evil befall thee. And neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. That's powerful. There shall no evil befall you, and neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Praise God. Well, where are you dwelling? Glory to God. You are in the secret place. You're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Praise God. And no plague is coming there, because it's too much anointing. It's too much power. Praise God. And if you want to kind of like naturalize what I'm talking about and look at it in the flesh, yeah, you can see that in your home where you are, praise God, there's no sickness shall come or plague come nigh your dwelling. Why? Praise God. Because spiritually you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and under the shadows of the Almighty God. And in the natural, you are praying, glory to God, and God is protecting you and your home, glory to God. It says that there shall no evil befall you, and neither shall there any plague come nigh your dwelling. Praise God. I want to just, I can spiritualize that as well as make looking at it in the natural. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. Glory to God. Why? Because we are being protected by God Almighty. Amen. I said we are being protected by God Almighty, by the Most High. Praise God. The physical man in the natural place, the spirit man is under the shadows of Almighty God. It is God Himself protecting us. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we thank Him for that. Minister Glory, you want to read a few more verses?
For He shall give His angels charge over thee.
Look at the protection that we have.
Hallelujah.
Look at the protection. We're not running from any plague or any situation or the arrows that fly by night or whatever the case is going on there. No, we are protected by God Almighty. If you believe that, you should say amen.
Amen.
In radio land, praise God. And whatever is going on, just keep in mind that as a child of God, that you are divinely protected by the Most High God, the God of creation, the one that created all things for His pleasure. They are and were created. Glory to God. And keep in mind that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Under good works. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Right. And to keep them in all thy ways.
But the angels. The mm-hmm. angels are protecting us.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God. I remember reading there in Hebrew, I think it's 1 and verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Glory to God. Listen, we are protected.
Amen.
Glory to God. I think they're in Psalms 34 and verse 18, if I'm not mistaken here, that it tells us that they that reverence God, angels encamp around about them. Am I on target there? In Psalms 34 and verse 18, somewhere in that vicinity there, it says that...
34 and 7.
34 and
7. The
angel
of the Lord encampeth around them that fear Him and delivered them.
Praise God. The angel. I said 18. Well, then I stand for a correction there. Praise the Lord.
Still in the book,
just
34.
Popped up mm-hmm. in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But it says here in the 7th verse, says that angels encamp around about them that reverence God. Praise God. That reverence God. And also in the 91st Psalm, it says that, and He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep you in all of your ways. I want to tell you something. We are protected. Whether you realize it or not, we are protected. And we're protected by God, the Most High, the one that's able to do all things. And I said from the outset of the program that God has healed us of things that we had no knowledge of.
Amen.
Things that have not manifested themselves to give us some kind of an understanding or indication that there's a problem. God has taken care of it already. Where are you today? Are you dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? Are you abiding under the shadows of the Almighty? And if so, then you should say, this I say, that He, who, the Most High, that He is my refuge, my fortress, that He's my God.
Amen.
In whom I will trust. Praise God. Go ahead, minister.
They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We've known His name, and He's our protector. And we must keep in mind that this is what God is doing. Praise the Lord. He's our protector, because we know the name of the one that is doing all things. The scripture tells us, praise God, that he is able and that he will. And the healing that comes forth from this psalm, praise God, because God wants you well. He wants you whole. He wants you healed. He's not trying to put anything on you. That's the devil that's trying to do that. You need to understand that you are in the secret place of the Most High. Praise God. And no sickness there in the secret place of the Most High. Everything is whole. Praise God. Well, praise God. And God is in full control of what is going on. Praise God. We look at the 91st Psalm. We even look at other psalms there that were written there. Praise God. And I tell you, when we begin to believe what the Word says and grow in His grace and knowledge and thank God for everything that He has done, that He is done, and that He will be done in the future by our faith in everything that He's done. We are with Him. He's with us. Praise God. I remember brother was telling me, he said, well, listen, said, yes, sir, I have the Holy Ghost. I said, well, that's wonderful, but I wonder if the Holy Ghost got you. Praise God, because when He has you, then He'll be in full control of your life, and He will guide and lead you. He's the master teacher, and He'll teach you all things, and we'll just abide in Him, rest in Him, and thank God for whatever that God has done. Praise the Lord. We want to go a little further in this because, yes. You know.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
Praise God. He shall what? He shall call me. He shall call upon him.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's what God is doing, mm-hmm. and it's what I'm doing.
Right.
Praise God. This I say, that he is my refuge, my fortress. He is my God in whom I will trust. Then he tells us down there. Read that verse of scripture again, Minister.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
He shall call upon him,
mm-hmm.
or upon me, and I will answer. Praise God. Isn't that something?
That is something.
I wonder how many of us today are calling on the name of the Lord. And God is answering us.
Mm-hmm.
When we call, it should be a call by faith.
Yes.
With reality. In other words, understanding and knowing in whom I'm trusting and who I'm calling on. Mm-hmm. Because where the will of God is known, there is faith.
Yes.
Praise God. And the reality of what is happening is that from the beginning, he says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I have to keep referring back to that because what is happening is that the dwelling place is where you're living.
Yes.
Praise God. Where do you dwell? You know, from a spiritual standpoint, we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And we are abiding under the shadows of the, and I'm living under the shadows of the Almighty. What kind of protection are we talking about here? All these other things that's going back and forth, pestilences and arrows and all these other things, the snare, the fowl and other things, we're protected from that if we can believe that, because the reality of it is that he is with me and I am with him. And he said that he would never leave me nor forsake me, that he would even be with me unto the end of the world. So he's with me no matter what's going on. He's with me. Praise God. And he's given his angels charge over us. My God. Protection. Oh, I wonder if we really realize who's protecting us. Glory to God. Who is protecting us? God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Minister.
And with long life, praise the Lord, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
And with long life.
Mm-hmm.
What a promise.
What a promise.
And with long life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With long life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He's not trying to stop you. The long life, he says it. And he will show you his salvation.
Amen. Praise God.
The Lord. I want to ask the question today out here for the closing moments of this broadcast. Where are you dwelling? Are you in the secret place of the Most High? Do you believe that God is protecting you no matter where you're going? Do you believe that there's nothing that can take place in your life without God knowing about it? He is the God of creation. I thank the Lord for everything that he's done and what he's now doing. I'm going to extend an invitation to those that tune into the broadcast that don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know there are people out there that tune into the broadcast that don't know him as well as those that know him. And if you know him, you're in the secret place. You should be dwelling there in the secret place of the Most High. So I'm going to ask Minister Gloria if she would just stretch out her hands and minister the uncompromised word of God concerning salvation to those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ.
The word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in Jesus' name.
Call upon him and say, Lord, come into my life. Take full control. Do something with this life that you've given me. And I'll submit to everything that you are asking for. Well, I want to thank you all for tuning into the broadcast. And I ask the blessing of the Lord will be upon all until the next broadcast. God bless you all in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.
Come on, put your hands up.
Oh, Lord, stop by here. Bye.